Blog Talk Radio.
Purify my heart, make me a better Muslim, purify my thought. I seek refuge in thee from the accursed Shaitan, and I submit totally, God, my word is born. I know I'm always screaming about righteousness, and it seems like I'm on some self-righteous tip. But no man is free of sin, I'm fighting my jihad. It's an everyday struggle and the fight is hard, but I'm striving hard to be a better person, Lord. Cause I know that I'm far from being perfect, Lord. I'm in no moral position to be judging none, just trying to be a warner before the real judgment comes. That's why in my raps I say what I say, but I'm in the same boat, so I pray every day. Allah strengthen me with humility to deal with my lieutenant. Good soldiers here and obey, help me to represent it. Help me to fight off Satan for real, and help me to deal with this pain that I feel, this anger I feel. Help me live up to the name Muhammad and submit to the truth that you came to reveal. Forgive me for my sins and have mercy on me. Protect me from Satan and the evil he's working on me. Living in this devil's world, putting a hurting on me. The devil trying to end my show and close the curtain on me. Too many enemies plotting, any day I can die. If you're not in my corner, there's no way I survive. But if it's your will for me to go, then I'm gone in the wind. I'm a soldier and I'm gonna stand strong to the end. Help me provide for my wife, I be working hard. But what I make ain't enough and she deserves it all. I barely make enough for us to make it and live. And she deserves so much more than I'm able to give. I wanna do so much for my family, and the fact that I can is so sad to me. The stress be dragging me, feels like I need a new port and a fat bag of weed. But that's against the restrictive laws I won't ignore. Within the law is my success, plus I signed Form 4. So I pray to you, Lord, help me kill them thoughts. I tell myself it'll get better, but I feel it's not. Looking for better days, but I'm stuck for now. Ain't seen the mosque in 2 months because my truck broke down. I'm stressed out, I'm just keeping it as real as I can. When your pocket's on E, it's hard to feel like a man. I used to get money in my criminal days, but I refuse to go back to my criminal ways. I don't wanna be the nigga that I was before. I was born to be a fruit, it's in my blood for sure. I'm wrestling with demons from my past that haunt. Mistakes I made, things I've done that I can't shake off. Me killing me softly, and I can't let it go. I got issues with my anger, always ready to blow. Ready to fight anybody, kamikaze, can't help this. But sometimes I wonder and sit back and ask myself, is just because I'm fearless, or do I have a death wish? At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn cause I'm restless. Dealing with these demons, disturbing my peace. On my prayer rug till it's hurting my knees. Oh Allah, you know the children gone back to their mom. Please watch over them and keep them on the path of Islam. I hardly see them anymore, Lord, I miss them a lot. And the pain from it got my heart twisted in knot. My wife got sons that I love and I'm adopting them soon. Plus you blessed us with the baby that she got in the womb. She's a high risk pregnancy, I say that it's scary. She was pregnant once before, but the baby miscarried. So please bless her with the strength, I'm asking you, Lord. I'm begging you please, like I've never asked you before. Oh Allah, please help me to endure my trial. My self-accusing spirit talking to me and I hear it. It's telling me Allah is surely with the patient. Seek refuge in the law and resist temptation. So I beseech your help and beg your mercy indeed. For I believe in you and trust in you for all that I need. And I'm a helper in your cause with your apostle. So please grant to me success, Lord, Allahu Akbar. Amen, amen.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. And I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, warner, and comforter in our midst. And it is my distinct honor to greet you all once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. We say it in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you. Thank you, dear brother. And we are so honored to be back with so many of you on a Friday night. Good to see a lot of you out there tonight. And we are awaiting Student Minister Tony Muhammad's arrival. He may be running a little late, but inshallah he will be joining us soon. But we will not miss anything because we have a brother who is well-studied, who is up on current events, and he has really, really put forth a lot of effort into bringing you some very profound information tonight as it relates to blacks and Jews and as it relates to the recent comments made by Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling. So, okay, I'm sorry. I thought that was his number. So just sit tight and listen to what our dear brother has to share with us. Listen to the situation that is going on in our sports world and think about the future of your children and they're interested in going into this arena, the things that they could be facing. So maybe it's time for us to start being more creative and do some things for ourselves. So I'm going to shut up. You know, that's my logo on this show. I'm going to shut up and I'm going to turn it over to someone who's very capable, our dear brother, our dear minister, our friend, our soldier who sold 300 final call papers last week, original salute. And thank you, Brother James, for being such a magnificent helper of the nation and the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. I present to you Student Minister James Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam. And it is my great pleasure, privilege, and honor to return the greetings to you, dear sister, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, my wonderful companion in the struggle and in the mission of the resurrection of the dead. I can never thank Allah enough for the wonderful, for you and the wonderful forum that you have extended to me via this show, Put on the New Man. I know that the appreciation for what you have done extends far beyond me and into our listening audience, but I must always recognize who I am the beneficiary of, the great, great work of our dear sister and queen, Aziza Mariam Muhammad. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All praises due to Allah. And while we are awaiting our dear beloved brother, student regional minister Tony Muhammad's arrival, which I'm sure will be very, very soon. He's very, very busy. Last night I spoke with him, and he was on his way to a very important meeting with some NBA players as well as others, key players in the sports world. And, of course, all concerned about what's going on in L.A. at this time. But he did confirm with me that he would be on the show. So he's a very busy brother. And those of you who are subscribers to the Final Call newspaper, you see the headlining article in the paper on page 3. And, of course, it features a picture of our brother leading a protest. He has the bullhorn in his hand, and he is representing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan outside of the Staples Center. Of course, those of you who are following the news, and I think that's probably everybody, you know pretty much what's going on there with Donald Sterling, the owner of the L.A. Clippers. But let me begin seeking refuge in Allah, evoking the help of Allah in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. I bear witness that there is no God but He. I bear witness to the oneness of God and to the oneness of his prophetic community. As a Muslim, I believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus, and the Injil or the Gospel, what is commonly known as the New Testament. We believe in Moses and the Torah, or what is commonly known as the Old Testament. And certainly as Muslims, we believe in Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah 1400 years ago and the revelation of the Quran. As students, which I am a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan under the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we can never thank Allah enough for his intervention in our affairs, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great, great Mahdi, the self-guided one. And we thank him for raising up from our midst his messenger, Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the one whom the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. I know that very few anticipated that he would be a black man from among the former slaves, and certainly even fewer anticipated that he would be a Muslim. We thank Allah, Master Farad Muhammad, for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom he fashioned and shaped and prepared one for this critical and prophetic hour at which we have arrived. Let me say, the hour of which I speak is the hour of the judgment of not only the wicked, but also the righteous, and the hour of the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And the man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is my great honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you, my dear Sister Queen, and those of you who are in the listening audience. We greatly appreciate your participation on the phone, as well as your participation in the chat rooms every week by the thousands. We are so thankful to Allah for you, dear family, and we want to greet you with the greeting words of peace. We say it once again in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wow,
and dear family, while we are awaiting the arrival of our dear brother, student minister, Tony Muhammad, I want to, as we regularly do, traditionally do, give scriptural support to the theme that we are dealing with, which we have been dealing with for the past two shows. Now, this one will make three, culminating a three-part series on the revitalization of reparatory justice. That is to say, reparations, the revitalization of reparations, and centered upon recent events that have developed in Los Angeles, specifically dealing with one Donald Sterling's exposed and revealed statement by his young girlfriend. And so, before we get on, let's give the scriptural support. We'd like to read from Psalms. This scriptural support will deal with both the conspiracy against black people as a nation, and secondly, the solution, which is separation. We'll be reading from Psalms 83. Psalms 83. Those of you who have your Bibles in front of you, please grab them and follow along with me. I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. A prayer against those who oppress. This is the subtitle. A song or psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. They that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in their remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent, a conspiracy. They are confederate against thee, meaning they are of one mind, working in a conspiratorial effort against those whom they wish to cut off from being a nation. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us that he was in a movie with Mother Khadija. It was a movie regarding, this was some time ago in the 80s, this was a movie dealing with the assassination of President Lincoln. And while he was in the movie, he heard a voice saying, read Psalms, read Psalms. And then he said in his mind, what psalm? And he said in his mind, a clicker went off. You know those wheels that have a clicker on them and they stop at a certain place given the momentum of the wheel. And it stopped at Psalms 83, that Psalms that I just read. This, we now know, was Allah God speaking to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who was not at the time necessarily speaking, and so he was being told, keep not thy silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head, and they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name not of Israel, but the name of Islam, Islam, particularly the nation of Islam, may be no more in their remembrance. This is the conspiracy. This is the culminating, this is the confederate agenda of those who wish to stay in power by keeping the black man and woman down. Now, make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. The scripture says that in the last day, God will make the first last and the last first. He said he would exalt the valleys, not physical valleys, but those who have been living in the valley of the shadow of death, and he will bring the mountains low. He's going to take the bottom rung of the ladder and raise it to the top. And the stone, the scripture says, that the builders rejected will become the headstone of the corner. This is referencing the black man and woman, particularly in America, but black people all over the world. It is our time and the wise of the enemy know it's our time. So all of what they have been doing and are doing is to delay or to stay the prophetic rise of black people. This is why, brothers and sisters, it is so important that regardless to class or creed, regardless to faith expression, regardless to land or label or religion, we must understand that there is but one God and one agenda of that God, and that is the agenda of the rise of black people. So we must dismantle these walls that divide us on the basis of religion, on the basis of philosophy, on the basis of class, on the basis of caste, on the basis of religious dogma. We must dismantle these walls and come together as one, even if it's just on the basis that of the reality that we have common enemy. Now, my second scripture, which points to solution. And before I go into that, I received a text from our beloved brother. He said he was just ending a very, very serious street meeting, and he asked me to give him 10 minutes. So we anxiously await our brother's arrival, and we know that the meeting that he is a part of is serious, and it's bringing those elements that God has come to bring from the bottom to the top together. Now let us read from 2 Corinthians, the 14th to the 18th chapter, the 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, the 6th chapter from the 14th to the 18th verses, and we read, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, or what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them." What? You mean don't integrate? No. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith" who? Brother Farrakhan? No. Elijah Muhammad? No. Brother James? Certainly not. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord." I'll say it again. "Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Isn't that something, brothers and sisters and dear listeners? The prerequisite for God receiving us is to come out of them. Who are the them? Come out from where? An angel stood with one foot on land and one foot on the sea. And it is written in the Revelations, this angel cried out, "Come out of her, my people." Not all people? No, my people. Come out of her. Come out of who? Babylon. Well, Babylon has fallen. Why? Because she has become the cage of every foul spirit. A citadel of filth and indecency. There is no level of indecency that you cannot find or think to here in America. Come out of her, my people, so that you be not partakers of her sins and her plagues. The revelation of the mentality of Donald Sterling, the revelation of the mentality of those in the police department, in the government, and among many of the masses of white people, plagues the black man and woman to such degree that we are the last hired and the first fired. The statistics of unemployment are doubled when they reference us. We are appropriated in ghettos. This is not by accident. This is by design. Our children are fatherless. 75% of black families are reared by a black woman. Where is the black father? What happened to the black father? We are killing each other at an alarming rate. How did this happen? Is this by accident or is this by design? Look at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, or rather the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, writes in What the Muslims Want under the Muslims Program. He writes, number one, we want freedom. We want a full and complete freedom. We want justice, equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed or class or color. Number three, we want equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. That does not necessarily mean American Caucasian or European Caucasian. With the best in civilized society. And if we could achieve this in the geopolitical economic framework of America today, there would be no need for number four. But have we achieved this since we've been here in America? The answer is a resounding no. Therefore, number four is absolutely necessary. We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. Since we cannot get along with them in peace, and God knows, Lord have mercy, God knows we've tried, but since we cannot get along with them, meaning white people, in peace and equality after giving them 400 years of our sweat and blood and receiving in return some of the worst treatment human beings have ever experienced, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete and separation, or rather complete separation in a state or territory of our own. That was rather a long talking point, but I wanted to use the time up so we could get Queen, are you with me?
Yes, I can hear you. We can hear you now.
Oh. Okay, I was trying to use that 10 minutes so that we could bring our brother right on.
Did he say he was calling in, or does he need me to call him?
I don't know if he has the call-in number. He did say give him. Okay, you gave it to him recently?
Yes.
Okay, he says, I'm ending a serious meeting, so street meeting, so we will await our brother's arrival. In the meantime, those of you who have been following the news, brothers and sisters, and those of you in the listening audience, I'm sure you're well aware of the recent...
And I would...
Oh, that was his voicemail? Okay.
Yeah, he's not ready.
All right, well, very good. Let's roll on until he arrives. I'm sure, as I was saying, that you are aware of the recent chain of events revealing and exposing the mindset of one Donald Sterling, the owner of the L.A. Clippers. Well, yes. The statements that were revealed that he made, very racist, very discriminatory, very horrible. And so the press says, and everyone is in an uproar. But as Minister Tony Muhammad stated in a recent article in the current Final Call newspaper, he said this is just the exposure of a mindset that is pervasive by all of the owners in the NBA, in the NFL, in the American baseball. I don't know the acronym for baseball. I don't watch it. To me, it's an extremely boring sport. However, in all of that sport and play echelon, this mentality exposed of Donald Sterling is pervasive. So the question now becomes, brothers and sisters, I mean, this is not new to us. It's interesting how we rise up in an uproar, not necessarily because, oh, we were taken by surprise. We know how they think in the higher echelons of wealth, in the billionaire stratosphere. We know how they think about us. But we're shocked and appalled when it's exposed, because many in our own community think as long as it's kept quiet, it's okay. Don't be so overt with it. And let some of the Negroes climb up out of the bucket so that they could be used in a skillful way to keep the other crabs in the bucket or barrel down. But this exposure of the statements, he doesn't like blacks. Now, come on, brothers and sisters. How many white billionaires do you know like blacks? I mean, let's look at it logically. So it's not necessarily about the statements that expose a mindset that's pervasive throughout that whole genre, but it's pervasive in large part and for the most part in American whites. Not about that. The question should be, and I'm sure Minister Tony is going to deal with it when we're blessed to have him be on the show. But the question is now, why did Allah God reveal this at this time, particularly in the sports world? At this time, what is Allah God trying to show us? What is he trying to tell us? That the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been trying to tell us, that Marcus Garvey has been trying to tell us, that Noble Drew Ali has been trying to tell us, that many of our great black leadership in the past and present have been and are trying to tell us. We as black people must come together and do something for ourselves. Huh? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us so clearly of the wealth that black people have coming in and then immediately out of their hands, out of our hands. We would be, I think now it's graduated to the 11th richest country in the world, according to the wealth that comes through our hands. Just doesn't stay there. But look at the statistics. I want to read some of them to you, if you don't mind. I'm going back now to the economic blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when the minister introduced it to us, reintroduced it to us. Excuse me. Give me a moment to get right to where I need to go. Under a section of that article, a reprint or a print of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's words, titled Statistics on the Dire Condition of Black Life in America, he writes, today we find ourselves in dire straits and slipping deeper and deeper into the abyss of poverty and want. And in this latest economic downturn, the so-called Great Recession, blacks continue to suffer disproportionately more than any other people. The following are some statistics. According to America's total wealth, blacks make up 13% of the U.S. population, but own a meager 1% of America's total wealth. America's total wealth includes land, buildings, and business that is on the land. It equals about $65 trillion, and we own 1%, about $650 billion. Dealing with foreclosure rates, Americans are losing their homes to foreclosure at a rate of 1 million a year. 5 million Americans have lost their homes so far, and the black foreclosure rate is 80%, I repeat, 80% higher than the rate of whites. All of the financial gains made by the black middle class over the last 30 years have now been totally wiped out. Listen good. The official unemployment rate is 7.8%. It's inching downward just a little, but in January of this year, meaning 2010, the official rate for blacks shot up over a full point from 13% to 14%, but these numbers are deceptive. Some economists say that the unemployment rate for blacks is closer to 30%. One of every 15 black men is incarcerated. That's 500% increase since 1986. Black-on-black homicide rates. There have been more than a quarter of a million, that's 250,000 black-on-black homicides since 1976. High school dropout rates. The high school dropout rate among our poorest students approaches 60%. The federal minimum wage is $7.25 per hour, but nearly 7.7 million people are known as the working poor, workers who have incomes that put them below the poverty line. In several cities, the jobless rate for black men is well over 50%, And for black teenagers, it was over 40%. There are 49 million people, 16% of the American population, who are now in poverty, and 11 million of them are black. Although blacks represent 13% of the general population of the United States, they represent 28% of the poor population in this country. This is the largest number ever recorded. There are 10 million American children in poverty, whereas 39% of black children under 18 years of age live in poverty, and 32% of households headed by single women are poor. There are more than 5 million more women than men who live in poverty. Well, I could go on and on, but what I'm trying to illustrate, what I'm trying to outline and to underscore, is not the exposure necessarily of Donald Sterling's racist remarks, but we must now agendize our destiny. What is the proper agenda that we should now formulate? And if we come to a table with the NBA heads or the NFL heads or the American Baseball Association heads or the heads of the entertainment world, who, by the way, are overwhelmingly Jews. Overwhelmingly Jews. What is the agenda? Is it jobs and justice? I mean, that's what we've been marching for since the great march of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Is it, or should it be, jobs and justice? Well, the short answer is no. The long answer is hell no. Then what should be the agenda? Oh, I wish my brother was on. I really want to hear from him.
Somebody
I don't
come.
Even, oh, there he is. All praises
yeah,
to
I've
Allah.
I've been here for a while. I've been on for about maybe 5 to 7 minutes.
All praises be to Allah. Well, I'm going to shut up. that's your line, Queen Aziza. But I'll,
that's my slogan.
It's very applicable to me right now. I'm going to shut right up and not introduce as such, but present to our wonderful listening audience, our patient audience, our beloved brother and student, regional, Western regional representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And just let me say this. Wherever the enemy raises his head, you can see a big black fist coming down on that head, coming from the arm of the West Coast. And that's our beloved brother, student regional minister Tony Muhammad. I present to you all our brother. Assalamu alaikum. The mic is yours, brother.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who certainly came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praise is forever due. And we can thank him enough for raising from among us that Georgia-born black man by the name of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of whom I think the world will soon come to know. And from those two, we were given another chance, and a man that I think is slowly becoming known to the people as an example of all of the prophets who've come in a line of divine. And when you look and see the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, from whatever angle you are looking at him, he will remind you of one of the notables who God has raised in this world to make a difference for poor, suffering people of their day. So it's an honor, Brother James, for me to be on a show with you and Queen Aziza. I mean, it's just an honor. I haven't been on your show in a while, but I hear a lot of great things about it. So thank you for honoring me and giving me a few moments that I can, if I can explain away anything or share some things, then, you know, I'd certainly be honored to do that. I don't know what to say, but if you would just question me on a few things, and maybe that could spark something in your brother that I can share with your audience.
Certainly, certainly. And the honor is certainly ours, dear brother. And, yes, it's been quite a long time, and far too long
for
you to be absent from this show. However, what we were just talking about, and we were saying that you're going to be dealing with, is not just the exposure of Donald Sterling's words, which indicate a racist mentality that, as you have shared with me in previous conversation, is pervasive throughout all of those who are in ownership positions, not only in the NBA, but the NFL, as well as the American Baseball Association, and in the entertainment world. And what I had said in the way of introduction that you were going to talk about was the agenda now, since God has brought this to the forefront, since Allah has exposed this in such a big way, then what now should be the agenda of black people? And that's we want you to discuss, dear brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I mean, I was blessed to speak to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan last week before the large protest rally that was held here in Los Angeles. And that rally was held in protest of the words coming from the heart and mind of Donald Sterling, who represents a group that thinks like him, who have now been exposed. And people was on the radio station out here in Los Angeles, and I was at home, and I wasn't listening to the radio. I just happened to get home, and the radio station was talking about Donald Sterling and what he said about black people and Latino and Asian. And 8 out of the 10 calls that was coming to the radio station, the black people were saying that they wasn't going to move or do anything until they heard from the nation and until they heard from what Minister Tony Muhammad had to say from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir.
And so to get that kind of responsibility on me to get in touch with what I believe to be the spiritual man of our day, the premier leader chosen by God. See, God have to always choose the leader, because when he chooses, he always chooses the right one, and he don't allow you to vote. So in speaking to the minister about what happened, he talked to me about the seriousness of the time and what must be done. And as you said, dear Brother James, I mean, this is an hour. The scripture calls this hour like this, that we're living in a time like there never was a time and place before.
That's right.
We're living in a time where there's wars and rumors of wars and famine and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, and you're going to see all manner of things take place. Well, Constance, this is a serious time. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did God allow this man to open his mouth so that the wind from the negativity of his mouth is hitting on the dry bone called black people? And he said, brother, and when you go, you be serious, because we are living in the time of the spirit of Django. So we can't go down there like no Negroes with our hat in our hand begging for some crumbs that fall off the table of the rich man, because the rich man is about to die, and he is dying. See? So
yes,
he
sir.
Said, when you speak, you don't speak to Donald Sterling. You speak to them all. He said, speak to the entire NBA, the National Baseball Association. Speak to the entertainer. Speak to Fox. Speak to ABC. Speak to CBS. He said, you speak truth to power, but speak responsibility to the victim. And that's what I went to do, dear brother. And then he said that there has to be an agenda that maybe, he said, because we don't know. Maybe what Mr. Sterling has done, maybe he has stirred us enough to where the black athletes, no matter what sports they're in, and the black entertainers, no matter what record label they're signed to, see if they will talk about going and getting on a retreat to talk about the collective power that black people have based on the greatest human resource we have, which is our talent inside of America.
That's right, brother.
See? He said, and in this agenda, first you got to teach them. He said, because although they are rich, they too still are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He said, you have to show them what is the collective financial power athletes have. See? And show them how their power and their influence can be used to flow power to black people who are poor, black people who are not getting good education, black people where there is no job. So the minister said, maybe the slaves are ready to revolt. He said, I'm not talking about no physical revolt. I'm not talking about burning down no cities. Don't waste your time with that. I'm talking about revolt against a mentality, revolt against a system that's keeping us oppressed, suppressed, depressed, and all of the other press. Maybe the entertainers will see that the mindset of white supremacy is so prevalent that they are suffering on it and don't even realize it.
That's
and
right.
And so that's what I went to do. The agenda has to be. I mean, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has laid out what the economic agenda is. The greatest economic agenda that has ever been put before the people, because to your radio listening audience, you know, brothers and sisters, we have prayed in, we have sat in, we have protest in, we are the best at singing We Shall Overcome. Can't nobody march like we march. Can't nobody stand up for about, we used to be able to stand up and protest for 3 days because, you know, times is so hard, the white man know we'll only stand up for 8 hours now.
Come on, Brother Tony. Yes,
so ain't
sir.
Nobody put their fists up in the air. We tried everything but our unity. Our collective unity. We have not tried that, and we have not pulled the economic trigger. Because
yes,
anybody
sir.
Who is rich in this country called America, they are rich because it is poor people who spend their money. Everybody wax rich off of the back of the poor people who maybe now the entertainers, some of them, and the athletes will rally around an agenda, and we lay out what their power is. What kind of financial power can LeBron James bring to the table? As you, brother, were so eloquently laying out those percentages in terms of how we look financially and how we look when it comes to unemployment and what percentage we make up of the American population. Brother, do you know LeBron James, without him knowing the LeBron James brand, the LeBron James machine, him
one athlete alone, he employs, without he even knowing it, nearly 14,000 to 20,000 people. That's
yes.
his brand. All the way down to those who put his logo, his images on apparel, those who make sure he gets to his interviews, the cameraman who's holding the cords, or the man that's holding the cameras, those who are setting up the lights. I mean, just a whole litany of people. But how many of those are his people that he could have some say-so in? See? So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have said, then maybe we need to help them set the agenda. Because it can't be no Negro meeting.
That's right.
Bro. See? It has to be a meeting where the athletes and the entertainers need to be told what their responsibility is to their people, since all of them, many of them, come up out of the hood. And the agenda have been set for us through the three-year economic program.
That's right.
That have been set up by the minister. And they have to get behind that kind of machine, brother, because we don't want to get behind no machine where these athletes is flowing money to powerless people who don't have knowledge. But I'll say this, brother, they are calling. I won't say who.
Yes, sir.
But I'll say that they are beginning to make those calls. I have just got out of a meeting with people who heard what we had to say in terms of speaking truth to power and responsibility to the victim.
Yes,
and I believe that there are some athletes who are courageous enough. They're bold enough. Minister Farrakhan said to me, brother, when I told you all that this is the best generation we have, that does not exclude the entertainers and the athletes.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what kind of music are they listening to? Many of them listening to gangsta rap.
Mm-hmm.
See? They're angry, too. They're ready, too. They just need somebody that they can rally behind. They need a cause. They need a movement that they can rally behind, like Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell. See, that was a movement that they rallied behind, and they was able to flow power to that movement. Well, we're at the brink of that, in my humble opinion, right now, dear brother, that there are some athletes who are courageous enough who are saying, okay, we need help. We need somebody to give us a higher understanding. And those athletes and entertainers that I've been meeting with over the last couple of days, I said, look, the guidance that you need is not financial first. The guidance you need is not social. The first guidance you need is spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
see?
Sir.
Because the spiritual meeting, brothers and sisters who are listening, your spirit is how your energy flow. Without your energy flow, you still ain't got nothing. But somebody unplugged us.
Come on, brother.
And there's a man on the scene who knows how to replug us back into the source of that energy. And I said, he's not interested in trying to convert you to no Islam. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is interested in putting you back in touch with your spiritual self so that you can be fed mentally, because it's the mental knowledge that's going to make you able to handle the responsibility that's going to be laid on you.
Mm-hmm.
And brother, they are listening. Now, where it's going to go, I don't know. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, brother, it may take a series of events. He said, but let me tell you, God is going to keep bringing it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and before long, not too long, they're not going to have no money to make, because God is going to destroy the stock market. only way we're going to get black people's attention in America is the way God got the Roman authorities' attention, the way he got the attention of those in Nineveh, the way he got the attention of those in Babylon and in Egypt. He had to destroy the money and destroy those countries' ability to trade and commerce. See? So the rich man is beginning to die. Then he said, Sterling, he said, this man, Donald Sterling, ain't going to just go out. He going to put up a fight. And he said that Mr. Sterling kept saying, it is my culture. Some of us miss that because we don't know what the word culture means. He kept telling this woman, it's my culture. Are you stupid or something? You don't understand. I got to do this. We're trained to do this. This is the way we are. And what is his culture? He's a Jew. Or he's Jewish.
Yes, sir.
He said to her, go to Israel. We treat them like dogs in Israel. She said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that Jewish people think black people are less than them? What did he say? 100%. And this man is a rich man. Brothers and sisters, don't let the media tell you he's old and he don't know what he's talking about. Bull crap. This Jew is wise. And the minister said, brother, Paul told us that this ain't a matter of flesh and blood. This is a matter of principalities and evil wickedness. Huh? And the rulers of the darkness of this world who sit in what kind of places? High places.
High place. Go ahead, brother minister.
That man sits in high places, brothers and sisters. Donald Sterling is a kingmaker. What do I mean by that? Donald Sterling was the one that made Dr. Buss, who is the owner of the Lakers, he taught him how to make money in the real estate game. Seven of the other Jewish owners, of the 30 teams, 18 are Jewish owners. Seven of those Donald Sterling put in there. Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks, he said, slow down, y'all. We're on a slippery slope. Many of us have said things in private. You mean to tell me that what I have said in privacy may come back to haunt me? Come on, y'all. When them white boys are in their little good old boys meeting, they laugh at us. See? So we got to teach them. We got to educate them. The word Clippers alone, Clippers, the Clippers, the Clippers. Go look up that word. That
yes,
was
sir,
the name me. Of the type of a slave ship that was designed in the 1700s. Because there were many Jewish merchants, even though the Emancipation Proclamation had been enacted, there were many Jews who were, and that's how that Jewish boy was talking. I feed them. I clothe them. I give them home. What he was saying is, these niggas is on my ship. I'm the NBA. They all feel like that, brother. Not just in the NBA, in the NFL, too. We're doing research on how much of that do the Jews control in all of the sports. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, if that man don't go away quiet, you will be witnessing the scripture that says this. When Satan start casting out Satan, how then can his kingdom stand?
That's right.
See? So when they go to war with each other, it's over. And our people will see that, wow, I'm being used, man. I don't care if LeBron James is making $80 million over 10 years. What is the owner making? The average NBA team makes a profit just on people coming to the game alone. Not talking about apparel and everything else. The average team makes $20 million profit every year. And the bigger teams making $150 million profit just on the game. I'm not talking about the other things that goes with that takes them into the billions of dollars. So So I think, dear brother, the minister after Savior's Day said, we're not going to hear very much from him anymore. He's taught like no man, brothers and sisters, have taught us before. He taught a 50-some week series. He's done. He said, when I finish, it's going to take punishment. It's going to take God blowing the terrible wind on the bones in the valley. They shaking the athletes. They shook. They turned their jerseys around. Well, at least that's a step.
Yes, sir.
See, what are we calling for? Well, we want the NBA to meet with our strongest black leaders who we know won't sell us out, includes the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We want NFL to sit with him and others to carve out a better relationship between the NFL, the NBA, you know, the National Baseball League Association, and how they should interface with the black community. See? He has to be at the table. And if he's not at the table, one of his representatives have to be at the table who ain't got their appetite in their hand. They didn't come to the meeting with the NAACP's appetite, SCLC's appetite, you know, Urban League's appetite. Whoever comes to the table got to speak for all 40 to 50 million black people.
That's right.
He's got to think along the line, how am I going to get every black person their daily bread, brother?
That's right.
See? Can't go. You can't take a hungry man to a chef meeting, brother. All he want is appetizer because he's so damn hungry. All he want is to get a grape.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't want no crumbs, brother. We want to talk serious because we got to talk to the athletes, too. We thank you and we admire you, brothers. Nobody cheer y'all on like we do. And then in every urban cities and pockets and cities where there are black people, there have to be councils, man, and the NBA need to come to South Central, need to go to New York, need to go into Tampa, and they need to talk to us and let us talk back to them.
That's right.
So these are the kinds of agendas that the NFL and the NBA have to do, as well as their sponsors. We got to talk to you, Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to you, Harley Davidson. Do you know more black people are buying motorcycles than any other ethnic group? In fact, Harley Davidson was about to go out of business, and it was black bikers that brought them back.
Mm.
See, we got to talk to them. What do you owe us for doing that? See, can't we set up a manufacturing plant? Let us make all your handlebars.
Mm-hmm.
Let us make the seats. See, these are the kind of talks we have to have. We don't want to have no damn popcorn job where we say peanut popcorn.
Come on, Brother Minister. Yes, sir.
We got to entertain you just to get you to buy it. We got to dance for you. Hell no. No, we want to furnish the peanuts. We want to furnish you with the popcorn. We want you to buy your sodas from us. So it's a lot on the table, Brother James, that this whole, what I love about what this thing has done, it's got black athletes who had never talked to each other talking now.
Mm, yes, sir.
See? And for them to go on a retreat, nothing but black athletes with an agenda that we cannot apologize for making the rich man flow power to the communities that most of us come from. You ain't got to, you can't apologize for that because,
that's
brother,
right.
Out here in Los Angeles, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, we're doing research now to see how much money do the NBA give to Jewish causes. We already know that it's over $100 million that they get from the sporting world and the entertainment world. And that's what makes the JDL, the Jewish Defense League, that's what makes them merciless. That's what makes them strong, because they're only beholden to Jewish people. And you better not say nothing about them.
That's right.
And the next strongest group to them are homosexuals.
Hmm.
But they control that too.
Yes, sir.
So you say something anti-gay. Oh, you out. We got to be strong like that. See? And so that's what we want to talk to them about. How did this man fly under the radar when he have a history of mistreating black and poor people? He's got a history of that. This man ain't just now done this thing. The federal government down there had to attack him physically, because even when they sued him for discriminating against people moving into his apartments, do you know, he told them to go to hell. I'd rather pay the fine before a nigga live in my apartment.
That's right.
So he has the slave mentality, brother. And they control the athletes. And lastly, I'll say this and be quiet. I'm teaching now, and we're going to show the athletes where the Jim Crow laws are still in effect. That under the Jim Crow law, do you know under Jim Crow, the law was to keep the black man as close to being a slave as possible.
That's right.
Under Jim Crow, in many of the southern states, the law that black people had to spend their money the way they say spend it, or they could get arrested.
That's right. That's right.
If you spent your money with a Native American, they could arrest you.
Hmm.
These athletes will tell you, like Mr. Sterling. See, what we missed was he don't give them houses. He said, he got all these cats playing for him. Guess who they buying their house from? Him. See? Guess who they buying his car from? His Jewish cousin that owns the Bentley places out here. He owns those. So he getting his money back from them.
That's right.
And that's why he's the Lord. And he can say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Hmm.
Because that's who they consider themselves as. And these cats don't know that they are fish and game. See? So anyway, those are the kind of education. And when I sat with them brothers and I showed them the Jewish history and their culture and the Talmud and how and where the whole thing on the curse of Ham came from, the rabbinical scholars, I mean, they didn't know that. So just feeding them information. How would they know they have a teacher? And how would
Come
they
on,
have
Brother
a teacher
Minister.
Unless somebody is sent to them? Consider this, brother. Brother Muhammad, you don't want no money, man. Brother, hey, I got to teach you. The minister told me to teach you first. Want your money, brother?
That's
we want
right.
your mind.
That's right.
We need your energy. We need your image. We don't need your money. We need you to be a part of a bigger team. Every time you're shooting that basketball, you should be thinking about what's happening in your community, brother. They had lottering laws in Jim Crow that certain that black could not stand around as a group. They had to always be on the move. And certain under Jim Crow, there were certain black men, if a black man had been to prison, and if you were caught hanging with another black man who had been to prison, you was in violation of a Jim Crow law. And if you look at the black athlete, this boy from Philadelphia, he's from Los Angeles area. The Philadelphia Eagles getting rid of him because they say he hangs out with gang members. Wait a minute. See, lottering law, vagrancy law. That if you don't act like we tell you to act, then we're gonna take this plantation from you, take this money from you. So, brother, these cats, they're beginning to realize that they are rich slaves. Hopefully, that they'll have enough spirit to say, teach us more. let us gain more knowledge. It ain't going to happen overnight. And those are the kind of meetings that I have been involved in, from entertainers to athletes. And if it please God, hopefully we'll be able to bring them together with the strong black mind, you know, of people that we can trust that'll help guide them and show them their collective power. What kind of power does Oprah and Will Smith and Denzel Washington, what kind of power do they have collectively? See? Oh, my God, brother. Just that group alone could do so much to bring the black community out of despair, it wouldn't be funny.
Yes, sir.
So that's what we're dealing with, dear brother. I hope it makes sense, but I tell you, man, it feels good to see that some of these athletes have the spirit of Django. They're waking up, and they want to be free. And the first thing we got to do is help free their mind, brother, and their behind will follow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother minister. I want to thank you for those words, beloved. And we're very anxious to get our listening audience engaged in this discussion, dear brother.
Sure.
It's just not enough time, which begs the request for part two with you on this. If it pleases
Allah.
Okay,
I'll come back next Friday,
but
if it pleases Allah.
All praise is due to Allah. Now, what we want to do, dear Queen Aziza, we want to give as much time as possible. We have about 45 minutes left in the show, and we want to make sure that they're used by through a discussion with our beloved brother and guest panelist, Student Minister Tony Muhammad. So who's out there with their hands up, Sister Aziza?
Well, if I could stop my fingers from moving for a minute. Okay. We have a call from area code 702. Your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam, sir.
Brother Minister Tony, I have heard all that you have said, brother, and I'm in total agreement with it. You know, here in Las Vegas, we have two brothers in our mosque who are professional basketball players overseas, and they talk about the NBA all the time, and they always let us know it's not painted out to what we may think it is. And you know, I have a son, he's 12, and that same mindset that is in the NBA, it's in AAU basketball, and we have to engage ourselves with that same mindset of, you know, teaching and training our people. We got to make sure that we protect our babies, because it's hundreds and thousands of dollars that is being invested in AAU basketball, and they start with our children in the third grade. And I just want to let the listening audience know it's just not the NBA. It's also AAU basketball. I just wanted to say that, brother. And thank you for all that you have given us this evening, brother.
Thank you, dear brother. Wa alaikum salam. Well, I mean, that's where the slavery training starts. You know, in AAU, you know, and having these young black athletes thinking that they have arrived when they go from AAU to a white college, you know, and the white coaches are in cahoots with the NBA owners. So all of this is a part of their modern-day slave-making machine, you see. And if you go into the scripture, you know, it says it because Pharaoh, he know God. He knows the scriptures of God. He knows how God operates. Don't think that this country and the wickedly wise, wealthy people, they know how God moves too. See? And when the enchanters or the rich man was asking the sociologists and the psychologists of his day, what do the slaves want? Listen at what they said. They want to share in your wealth, and they want nearness to you. Look at how we teach our children. Brother, if you go to Duke, you done arrived. If you go to Syracuse, you're there. When I came up, if you went to Grambling, you was this. See? If you went to Southern or Tennessee State, trained as a young boy to buy for these plantation makers and these slave makers. They don't care how much money they got, because every one of these athletes give it right back to the Jew. It is the Jew that's giving them their jewelry. It's the Jew that's selling him his car. It's the Jew that's selling him his house. He put his Jewish daughter around the Negro to get the rest of the money. And she sue him in court and take everything he got and divorce him and marry a real Jew boy. So they got it all planned out, brother. See, everything they do is a plan. They'll make you think it ain't a plan. They'll come to you in the name of help to hurt. So all of these AAU, see, and this is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, start our own league of youth. See, we got to start back funneling and routing our children to the black universities and make them more responsible.
That's right.
Larry Johnson said we need to come up with our own league. That's real. So there's a lot. There's a lot. But you're absolutely right, brother. Just watch your child. Any of you who have your children in these AAUs, you know, make them respect themselves, you know, and respect their people, that no matter where they go, they are responsible for their people. Because you see what they make. They make people like, what's this boy, this basketball player that be on TNT from Alabama? Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't no role model. Wait a minute, brother. You a poor country boy from Alabama. You wouldn't have got to play professional basketball if there wasn't somebody he was out on the court saying he was. You are wrong, but to deny it, and that's the kind of thing they teach these boys. That's why we don't have a modern-day Muhammad Ali. We don't have a modern-day Jim Brown, because they done decoded these brothers, and they done took the spirit of Kunta Kinte out of them. So they ain't running from the plantation no more. They running to them and holding their hands out and saying, chain me up with debt. Chain me up with jewelry. Chain me up. And that's what these niggas got around their neck. Excuse me, y'all. Chain. Gold chain.
Yes,
with diamonds in it. That's from the Jews.
That's real, though, Brother Minister.
Yeah.
That's real. Well, thank
next
you.
Caller.
Yes, sir. Let's keep rolling. Sister Ziza? I know my sister is busy working that chat room.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Are you called 443? Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm glad to be a part of the show. I just wanted to just come in and say some things. We got, there's something big that happened today in the business world. Dr. Dre stands to be the richest or the first billionaire rapper selling his beats by Dre for $1.3 billion to Apple. Dr. Dre, just, I want to put this out there. Dr. Dre is a man who is probably worth about $500 million right now, and he's about to close on a $50 million estate somewhere out there in California. I'm bringing this up because Brother Minister brought up a good point. Brother Minister brought up a good point about how when we get this money, or when they get the money, they always have a place for us to go spend the money. The reason why that is because what they're in the business of doing is not just making the Jews, I'm talking about, and the other white compatriots. What they're in the business of doing is not just making themselves rich, but they're in the business of making others that think like them rich. Okay? I'll make it real simple. We in the Nation of Islam, or we in the nation, need to make more wealthy Muslims. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Well, thank you. Thank you, dear brother. Well, you're right. I mean, they allow one or two of us in, and we become slave catchers for them. So Dre is a slave catcher. And Dr. Dre, instead of giving $65 million to the city of Compton, the city that he got his riches from, he gave $65 million to USC. you know, to help them get scholarship to white children because, you know, now there is no more affirmative action, so they don't have to get a scholarship to nobody black. So you're right, brother, you know, but we are going to rise up. With the help of Allah, the nation will be producing millionaires when we get into the science of business and learn all of, not just the science of business, the science of war, the science of mating. There has to be a generation or a group among us who I believe Master Farah Muhammad will exactly open the door to. Not only will we grow millionaires in the nation of Islam, but I believe many millionaires are on their way to join with us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to happen. We're going to win, you know, but that's beautiful, you know, so thank you.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you for your comments there, brother. Let's keep rolling.
All right. Someone from down in your neck of the woods, Brother James. Florida, 6107, my last four numbers. Your mic is live.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam.
Waalaikum salam.
Hello, this is Brother Johnny Muhammad. I just would like to give the greetings to everyone, and thank you so much for the venue, Sister Queen Aziza. I happened to be on last night, and you back-to-back had like three of my family members on the show, and it was very enlightening, and I thank you very much for the venue. I was trying to get on last night, but it was a little too packed. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I get a greeting to my big brother, Minister James.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Johnny.
Really good to hear you, big brother.
To the family, please, brother.
Yes, sir. I will, by all means. Just so you all know, he's one of the brothers that's really responsible for me and my family members being a part of the Nation of Islam. He's a brother really inspired me from the very beginning of my sojourn in the nation, and I used to follow him around, so he's one of those brothers. And Brother Tony, likewise, thank you so much, brother.
All
I got to see you last time you were here in St. Pete, and I really appreciate you, brother. Keep the fire coming like that, and we'll be with you fighting, brother.
Thank you so much, dear brother.
Yes, sir. And I just wanted to ask a question and throw something out there just as a blanket statement. Minister Tony in particular, and Brother James, you're familiar with the area, so I know you know as well. I just need a little advice and counsel on it's one of those times for me now where, as you know, Brother James, I work with a lot of the youth, and a young man who was here a couple of weeks ago, and he killed the young man in front of the store. That was my nephew Oliver Solomon's best friend, and one of the kids that we work with here in the area. I'm sorry, one of the children. He's not a child, he's a young man, but and it's just like that the death circle is just starting to circle around us again. I found out today another of my nephews you know, was involved in an incident where he killed a young man, and there's just been, you know, that vibe going on inside of our circle again. And I didn't, you know, I'm just like just kind of caught back by it right now. I'm trying to find a way or just get some advice on how it is, you know, just to quell it, or if not anywhere else in my own mind, and what I can do to reach out and help them to some extent as well. I believe Sister Kimberly is probably on the line as well. And she's sort of in the midst of it. So
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Kim, if you can hear me.
Yes, sir. But that was really heavily on my mind. So any advice you can give me, you know, to go back and talk. Because the young men, you know, they look and they act like, oh, well, it's nothing. But then I see them, you know, in their private times, and they come and they talk to me, and they're all, you know, really greatly affected by all of it.
Yes, sir.
And that was really one question that I had to ask. And just the other thing, too, you know, I do with a lot of the athletes, and there's some here now, and I've been asked to talk to a few of them, and my attitude is not what it used to be. I'm almost like seeing a lot of it as useless. I'm getting really worn out with a lot of the brothers. You know, they get into the league or they want to play and they do this, and, you know, we help them, we push them there. And the thing, we don't hear from them anymore. Then there's no interaction. They act as though, you know, the minister doesn't exist. So I really don't know how to really deal with that situation as well. It's something, a good friend of mine, his son is here playing for the Bucks now, and another one who I used to coach, Teddy Bridgewater, just got drafted. And I talked to their families, and Tommy has asked me to counsel his son, but I really don't know what to tell him, because I'm sort of like in an anti-mode right now. I really just want to tell him, man, find something else to do, man. Get a trade. Give you money to through your economic program. So I really don't know what to say to anyone right now without being offensive and very non-productive. But thank you for
thank
your time.
You.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, well, Brother Johnny. I'm going
yes,
to allow
sir.
Brother,
you, Brother Johnny.
Minister Tony to answer your questions as much as he can.
Yes,
when
sir.
Given the time. And then, of course, you have my number for later on. And, you know,
yes, sir.
I mean,
we'll
you,
definitely be seeing each other,
yeah,
big brother.
So you can call me and talk with me. We see each other. But definitely, Minister Tony, please,
sure.
if you would
well,
respond.
I'll start with the last one first.
Yes, sir.
And, dear brother, when you're dealing with children,
yes, sir.
You know, you're dealing with our people. And this is why in the Bible speaks a lot of agriculture.
Yes, sir.
And God wants us to look at the physical manifestation of what's in the universe to give you a higher spiritual and mental understanding.
Yes.
See, so when you're dealing with youth, brother, you have to see yourself as a farmer.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And
come on, brother.
Your job is to take
wow.
truth, and the truth is like a seed. Just plant it.
Yes, sir.
Plant it.
Yes, sir.
You know, and once you plant it, let Master Farad Muhammad, let God, see, that sun will come up and do its job.
Yes,
the
sir.
The rain will come along and do its job.
Yes, sir.
See, and there will
yes,
be
sir.
Storms that will come along and blow some of it up to where it wasn't even worth harvesting.
Wow, yes, sir.
See, and that's why the minister have us now going back out in the streets spreading seeds. Because God is
yes.
going to create the harvest season. And as yes. long as you put the principal seeds of truth in that young man, teaching
yes,
him
sir.
Who his enemy is, who he is, and
yes,
what the enemy and how he operates and how he's trained to master you,
wow,
it may be it may be suppressed, but something may happen with the boy Bridgewater. If we put truth in him at 6 years old, something may happen. In
yes,
the NFL where he said, whoa, I was taught this.
Yes, sir. Beautiful.
See? And now it germinates. See? Allah
yes.
is harvesting it. Don't ever
yes,
get frustrated. You can't convert. No way. So if you
yes, sir.
If you take yourself out of the trying to convert business and know your rightful place, you can never get frustrated because what does Allah say? He said, my will not be frustrated.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See?
Beautiful.
So when you
yes,
know
sir.
Who the source of strength is, get in your place so that you won't be frustrated. I'm
yes,
not
sir.
Frustrated.
Yes, sir.
Come on, brother.
Man, brother, you are.
Gonna, you. I know we're going to win. I just hope I'm still around with my hand on the plow.
Yes, sir.
Come on, brother.
Yes, sir.
You see?
Beautiful thought. Yes,
so
sir.
Just drop,
beautiful
just
teacher.
Drop the seed of truth, brother. All we have is the truth.
Yes, sir.
And my example. That's all you can
yes,
give.
Yes, sir.
Boom.
Yes,
he'll
sir.
Never forget you. In fact, you'll stand out more in his mind than any of his teachers, brother.
Wow. Yes, sir.
See? So just drop the seed. Some of it will fall on thorny ground. Some of it will fall on stone. Some of the
yes,
seed's going to hit sand.
Yes, sir.
But all it takes is one Django, brother.
That's
yes,
right.
All
yes,
it takes
sir.
Is one Django. Be like, my father, see? So don't get frustrated, you know.
Yes, sir.
That I'll say that on that. So don't ever, you know, just teach the athlete, man. We ain't in
yes,
his
sir.
World. We don't know what he's tried with.
Yes, sir.
See?
You're right. Exactly.
Just teach him. He may even take what you teach him and live a riotous life. But God
yes,
may bring a famine, and then he'll wake
mm-hmm.
up and remember.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
you
sir.
See? And
yes,
here
sir.
He come, the prodigal son, running to the nation. See, are we going to
yes,
run
sir.
Because he wasted all of his money and riots his life? Hell, he means more to us than the money.
That's
yes,
right.
Agreed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See? No. Nah,
agreed.
Brother.
Yes, sir.
And that on that, when it comes to this killing and the things that you're going on, all of that is planned. There's a higher plan going on around
yes,
us. The Honorable yes, Minister Louis Farrakhan said it like this, and this is what I say to the young out here.
Yes, sir.
I said, brother, are you all mad? Damn right we mad.
Mm-hmm.
Who you mad at? Them niggas over there. Oh, yeah?
Mm.
Who benefits from you being mad at him?
Right.
See? I said,
yes,
the
sir.
Honorable Minister, and this is how I do it. I said, Brother, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told me to warn you. He said, do not allow your anger, your attitude to be a weapon in his hand against your brother.
Yes, sir.
I take around with me this little book. I'm doing a PowerPoint presentation on how we were systematically brought into this mental Frankenstein condition. So I have a book of pictures because our people are illiterate today. They do not see what you're saying. So when you say, see what I'm saying, hell no, they don't see what you're saying.
Right.
Show them a picture. So I walk around now with a book of pictures of slave ships. I walk around with a book of pictures showing how we were stacked in the slave ship.
I walk around
with a book of pictures showing a black man in the middle of a country town in the Carolinas standing on an auction block with white men around him bidding for him. I showed them pictures. I showed them pictures, brother, of black men being hit, tied around a tree with a white man whipping them and then showing what dreptomania means.
Yes, sir.
What necretude means. I showed them pictures of women hanging from bridges in Alabama and in Louisiana. I have a picture of an entire family that got hung from a tree with white people standing around pointing at them. I showed them pictures of the survivors, the men in Tuskegee, who where the Tuskegee experiment was enacted on black men and showing that they even have biological weapons. I showed them pictures.
Wow.
In 1950 in Louisiana, where they was putting implants in the brains of black men and sending them back out in the community, and they would murder up other black people. I showed them pictures, brother.
Yes, sir.
On how J. Edgar Hoover on the COINTELPRO, I showed him what he said. He feared the rise of a black messiah.
Yes, sir.
And they'd be like, damn, but it's in pictures.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Brother Muhammad, but that was back then. Then I flip it over, and then I said, brother, oh, you think slavery done stopped? Then I open up the next section. I show next to the slave ship, I show the county sheriff bus, and it resonates. I said, brother, what is the difference in this ship and that ship?
Right.
Damn, both of them is taking you somewhere where you're going to have to work for nothing. I let them tell me.
Wow.
Damn, Brother Muhammad.
Wow.
Then I show them pictures of black men in the prison. Now in out here in California, they have bunk beds, brother, that six and seven layers stacked.
What?
I have pictures of that.
Wow.
And then I show them how we were stacked on it. I said, what's the difference, brother? I show them pictures, brother.
Yes,
of
sir.
Bloods and Crips getting off the county bus, standing in front of the judge, waiting to be sent to a particular prison because depending on their level of education will determine what prison they go to.
Yes, sir.
I show them pictures, brother. You know, then they say, well, brother, but it was the Klans back then. I showed them pictures of a picture of a Klan in hoods, and then I showed them pictures of gang members in hoods. I said, what's the difference in the man? What's the difference in the way a Klan thinks about black people and the way gang members think about another black man?
Yes, sir.
I said, there is no difference, brother. Then I showed them the letter that came out in the newspaper in Philadelphia, I think in the late 80s, early 90s, where the Klan sent a thank you letter to the gangs of L.A.
Yes, sir.
Come on.
I call it.
I showed them pictures, brother. They said, well, how we being hung today? Psych, man. Because when you get hung by a rope, then the rope separates the head from the body, and psych meds do the same thing. It separates your mind from your body, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then I walk away, brother, and now the mosque is filling up. You got to show them pictures, brother, because absence of mass still leaving with an MU.
Yes, sir.
And an MU means a misunderstood, brother.
Wow, yes, sir. Beautiful.
When you show them that, see?
Yes, sir.
Just
yes, sir.
Show them a book of pictures.
Yes, sir. Well taken.
And that's, again, you got it. It's a seed. Then you walk
away,
and you come back and check on them. What do you think about what I showed you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Beautiful teaching, brother.
So that's
very
that's,
inspiring.
And it's much, much more, but, you know, you and I, we can always talk, you know.
Yes, sir.
But just
yes,
teach them. And don't. And when you start, when you stop trying to convert, watch how they'll stand up. Watch how they get attracted. Don't worry
yes,
about
sir.
That. Only God converts. Hell,
yes,
if
sir.
You show them pictures and they run to the church, you did your job.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow.
So, man, I hope that helps a little bit, dear brother. Just
man,
little things
that
I try
big
to
brother, that helped immensely. I thank you so much. I mean, you're
yes,
right
sir.
On point. Right on point, especially with the farming. I farm now just to relax. So you
yeah,
you're right on
that,
the nose
but,
with that one.
But the physical, everything you do in farming, you need to also look at the spiritual and mental manifestation of every time you plant a seed.
Yes, sir.
Come on,
yes,
man.
Sir. You just brung that to me, brother. Beautiful, beautiful,
go.
Inspiring
there
teaching.
There you go. It don't grow overnight, do it?
No, sir. No, sir.
But it grows.
I even mess,
seed,
up,
right?
I mess it up sometimes.
Amen. Well, may Allah bless you and guide you, and I pray that Allah
yes.
others who are listening.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother Tony.
Be edified by the little simple things we do. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Huge help. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you again for the venue, Sister Queen.
Thank you, dear brother. Thank you so much for your support.
Yes, ma'am. You're very welcome.
Okay. Now, before we take the next question, I would be so remiss if I didn't do this, but I understand that recently, maybe just as recent as a few days ago, that our beloved brother student, Minister Tony, and his lovely queen, Sister Latanya, just celebrated, what was it, 27 years of marriage, Brother Tony?
Yes, ma'am, 27 years
oh,
of marriage.
Praises be to Allah.
Oh, praises due to Allah. Yes,
yeah.
sir. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. We knew each other 8 years before then, so we did it illegal, and we've been legal for 27. Illegal for
all
eight.
Praises.
So that's
yes,
a total of 35 years.
Beautiful.
Ooh. Well, thank you, Brother Suleiman, Sister Tony, and Sister Latanya for being a wonderful example for our nation. Thank you so very
much. Oh, you're very, very welcome. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
Okay, we're going to take a question from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you, dear sister?
I am well, through the Minister Andre Muhammad of Grand Rapids. How are you, beloved?
Yeah.
All praise is due to Allah, fine by Allah's grace and permission. Glad to be here, glad to be amongst the living, and glad to be in the Nation of Islam.
I know that's right.
Yes,
sir.
I just wanted to call in and show my support for my big brother, Student Minister James Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Andre. Yes, sir.
My big brother from all the way out in the West Coast, our student regional representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Tony Muhammad. You know, I've heard a lot about you, dear brother, and I have to, you know, give props where it's due. They was right, brother. You tough. You're on fire, dear brother, and I love it. All praises
man,
due to Allah.
All praises are due to Allah. Thank you, dear brother. I can't wait to hear you teach, because I'm sure you got that same fire, because, you know, they said that the ministers is like a flame of fire. That wherever
that's
you see
right.
them, they're igniting fires, man. So I can't wait to hear you. Can just be with you, man. It's a blessing, you know, to be in this sanctified brotherhood and ministry class of men and women who have the spirit of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I believe that Almighty God, Allah, is going to bless us with a double portion of his spirit, particularly when he ascends, we will leave the discipleship and we will graduate into apostles. And you know, those apostles had the ability to cast out demons. So I pray that both of us are in that number when the saints
Allahu
are watching
Akbar.
In.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, dear brother. All praise is due to Allah. I pray Allah that, you know, I'm also in that distinguished number as well. You know, I can only follow in the footsteps of those who came before me, and inshallah use that as a guidance for myself, as long with the teachings that are being given to us by our leader, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. So, you know, I just wanted to call in and give my support and, you know, keep flaming the fire, inshallah, on this trail, because we know that the pathway of a minister is always lonely, but at the same time, very, very busy. We always have something to do. So, you know, it's that the work is always done. You know, you never get a good night's sleep most times, but all praise is due to a lot of work is what keeps us alive. So that's how I see it, dear brother.
Wow, that is so beautiful, man. Yes, sir. Thank you, brother, very much for that.
Yes, sir, dear brother. Inshallah, Brother James, I want to try to get on, you know, and help you and assist you in any way possible. I've been kind of busy the last few weeks, but, you know, a lot of
stuff
going on. So hopefully,
you have my number. Yeah, don't you have my number?
Yes,
give
sir.
Me a
I
call,
give you
dear
call.
Brother. Let's arrange something. All right.
Okay. Yes, sir. I did. I would definitely do that. Inshallah. And inshallah, you guys, y'all enjoy the rest of your night. Inshallah. And I'm gonna continue to listen until the show is over. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Good to hear from you, dear brother.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's keep rolling.
I have to yield to my people in the chat room. They talking about neglecting them tonight. And okay.
Bring on the chatters.
Okay. So Cheryl says, why aren't black politicians speaking out against these Jim Crow practices? I feel we should hold them responsible for false representation of our people. It is our votes that put the black congressmen and senators in office.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, if you're not just putting them in office, is not good enough. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that not only should we put them in office, but it is our responsibility to make them accountable.
Yes.
What we do, we put them in office, fall asleep, and we are under the hope theory. We're hoping that they're doing the right thing. But we don't ask them. They don't come and ask us. We don't even know what committees they serve on. We don't even know who's lobbying them and why did you give your vote to thus and such. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said every so-called black leader, whether he's spiritual or political, should hear at least once a year and give his or her report card. How did you
do
and let us grade you?
Yes,
see?
Sir.
Every other ethnic group do this to their ethnic politicians. How did you do? See, Mr. King, who's a Jew, what did you do for Jewish interests? He shows it. We don't do that. We just so glad our black politician is in there being integrated.
Hmm.
See? So we have to hold them responsible. We have to also lobby them. We have to back them financially. But many of these politicians are in the way. These are the enchanters. These are the ones that the government and those that are in powerful places pay for. Many of our black leaders have a string going from their mouth to the rich man table. So they ain't going to speak up for black interests, you know. You ain't heard from not one black politician outside the president on Donald Sterling, and he didn't go too far with that. See? So what we have to realize, and I'm glad that sister asked that question to me, to hell with all of the politician. A politician ain't going to get us out of this trouble. It's going to take
on,
a messenger or a man of God. It's going to take the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. If he gets the total backing of black people, we free overnight.
That's right.
That's
right.
Ain't no sense in playing with it. Ain't no
That's
governor,
right.
ain't no congressman, ain't none of them going to do nothing. It's going to take a spiritual man, a godly man, to get us out
That's
of harm's
right.
way. So what if all black people, no matter if they was in the Nation of Islam or not, backed Minister Farrakhan? I guarantee you we wouldn't have no problem that we're
yes,
having.
Sir.
You know, so
That's my solution and answer to that question. Next.
All praises be to Allah. Beautiful.
Yes, sir. And Lynn wants to know, how do we begin to truly separate once we spiritually and mentally separate?
Give me that again.
She says, how do we begin to truly separate once we spiritually and mentally separate from these people?
Well, it's laid out in the economic blueprint that's laid out by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you know, and we're already basically separated anyway. They don't live among us, ain't but a few of
that's
us.
That's right.
In every urban city, we're separate but unequal. You know,
mm-hmm.
So to me, dear sister, once we spiritually and mentally separate, we got to also financially, economically, socially, educationally, we got to truly separate and carve out a piece of America, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said to us, that we can call our own. We gotta be able to be the manufacturers of that which we consume. You know, the hair care industry, just in L.A. alone, is nearly $2 billion that black women trade or get involved in commerce for hair. And we don't control not even less than 1% of that money. See? So once we spiritually and mentally and financially separate, see, and carve out our own, be in our own territories, you know, it's going to take that too. I also believe that God's hand is going to come in this too. I believe that it is written that certain parts, if not all of America, is going to be totally destroyed. And
that's
even
right.
Those of us who did not want to separate, you know, are going to be forced to separate. God cannot allow the righteous and the unrighteous to hang out anymore. See?
That's
we
right.
Can't hang out with people who will take evil and make it fair seeming and then make you scared to speak out against evil. See? So this whole thing is about to come down, and America will go the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, of Rome and of Egypt, because of her treatment of us. Make no mistake about it. But we are going to make, dear sister, I can't tell you when. I'm not that connected to the God, but I'm watching the signs. We will separate all the way, and it's going to be beautiful. We ain't going to miss a beat.
That's right.
You know, in separating. God is going to do it in his own good time, you know. Just stay right there, and it's beginning to happen. So that's my belief, and that's my thought on that.
Yes, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. Beautiful, Brother Minister.
And we have a question from Lawrence. Lawrence wants to know, he said, Brother Minister Tony said he's met with some athletes. He wants to know how they're feeling about the Donald Sterling situation.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Brother Lawrence says that you had mentioned that you had met with some of the athletes, and he wants to know how are they feeling about that situation.
Well, I mean, they're perplexed. They hate it. But the biggest thing with them is what to do about it. What can they do to unite other athletes who may be a little bit afraid? You know, so they're very, very upset, and they see the game. They're involved in it. They see how they're being used. They just, again, they don't have no guidance, and they're looking for right guidance. And as a result of allowing me to represent the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to them was a step in the right direction. You see, the scripture says it like this. My people are destroyed. He didn't say they were destroyed for the lack of money. We got money. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So I think we're on the right step, that they are accepting some of our ideas, you know, some of our suggestions. It's just going to be how can they then take that back and corral others. So that's how they was feeling. They're upset. But they also know, and this is a question that they're asking, but Muhammad, we already know many of the other owners think like this. Now, athletes, black athletes who wasn't even talking to each other about this are beginning to talk to each other. See? And that's what the brother said. He said, brother, one good thing that came out of this, we didn't talk to each other. Because in the spirit of competition, some of us didn't like each other off the court. But now that this white man done said that, we're dropping that in the beginning to communicate. I said, look at that. That's beautiful. Even if we don't do nothing to get that out of it in the first stages, that's a good step.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Next question. Thank you, brother, for that question.
Yes, sir. And Patrice wants to know, will the minister be making a public statement about Donald Sterling?
I do know the minister is assessing it. He's studying it. And I feel that he will at some point make a statement about it, you know, and know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan controls the Final Call newspaper. So he's made a statement already with the Jewish
That's right.
influence in the world. But I do believe that, you know, once he's, you know, strong enough, the minister was just a little down. I do believe he will make a comment about it.
Yes, sir. Okay, and we have a question from Camilla. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Camilla wants to know, where are we on the economic blueprint, and has it yet been decided how monies will be distributed and where the building will begin?
I have no idea. That information has not been disclosed to me. I think that will be disclosed to us, you know, at our national webcast. That information will come from on high. So I'm not sure. I'm not privileged to that information.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, those are all
but what I will say,
ask.
What I will say this.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry. Just trust our leader.
That's right.
And I'm not saying the person who asked it don't trust. You know what I mean? But it's going to come in good time, you know. It's going to come in good time because sometimes the minister, we don't let our enemy know every damn thing we're doing.
That's right.
You know, he used to say to me a lot of times when I was trying to do co-ops and all of that, he would say, brother, you need to send a root down before you send a shoot up.
Mm.
Speaking before your ability, or stop speaking beyond your ability to deliver. Don't tell the man everything that you're going to do. Then he knows how to circumvent it. I don't want the minister to tell us everything.
Come on,
because he's also, you know,
plan.
when the sons of God came before God to present themselves, well, the devil was with them.
That's right.
Come on.
And look at what
Come
the devil
on.
Was saying. He's standing there with the sons of God, didn't even know the devil was with him. That means then the devil looked like the people who came before the Son of God.
You better teach.
And so everybody that's saying As-Salaamu Alaikum ain't in the nation. They in the nation, but not for the wrong, right reason.
That's right.
Come on.
And then the God asked the devil, where you going? He said, you know me. I'm going up and down, to and fro. I'm going to devour your plan.
That's right.
So I don't care about knowing what the plan is, because I know among us is some devils. What I do know is we're going to inherit the kingdom.
That's right. That's right, Brother Minister. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
All praise is due to Allah.
Okay, we have one more question. That was going to be the last one. But Lynette wants to know, what do you advise for young men who are looking forward to trying to go to the NBA, NFL, and other professional sports?
Say that again. What do I do that?
What do you advise them to do? young men who are seeking to go into professional sports now, what is your advice to them?
Well, I advise them to look at a movie called The Spook That Sat Behind the Door.
Oh, yes, sir.
See, I advise them to look at movies like that. I advise them to make sure they get a thorough knowledge of themselves and who the enemy is. I advise them to study the Red Foxes and all of these entertainers and athletes who died broke, and how did that happen? What happened to them? You know, that even they couldn't even go back among their own people. See? So stay rooted, but don't go in there just to shoot basketball or play football, you know what I mean, and get cheered for out there on the field and not use your influence and not use your money, you know, to fuel and to help the area of your community. Make sure that you are flowing power back to the community that you came from. And you don't have to tell the enemy. Never let your right hand know what your left hand is doing.
Come
be
on,
wise.
Bro.
Seek wise counsel. See?
Come on,
and that's it. You know, that's how Django got his wife.
Mm.
He's a killer. He's sitting at the white man's table. He was there for the prize, which was his queen.
That's right.
He played the game until he got figured out. But he didn't take his out the prize, and he got away. He got away with what he had to do. But the first thing he had to do, he had to take care of the people that looked like him that was selling him out for the white man's best interest.
Come on, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, I would say to that young man, you know who you can trust. Know who you can trust. And the only way you're going to know who you can trust, that is if you have integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. He has to be purpose-driven, man. He has to go into the NBA to make sure that I'm here for a reason bigger than me. So that would be my advice. Get it all. We should get in the NBA. Take it over.
Yes, sir.
But don't get in there and sell out and you become some step and fetch Negro that want to see yourself on a Wheaties box. But nothing to your people.
Come
see,
on.
Go back and study Muhammad Ali. Go study what he did for black people. He stood up politically. He stood up socially. Go and study Jim Brown. Jim Brown, these people are loved by our people today as
mm-hmm.
a result that they made sacrifices for their people, man. We don't have those type of athletes anymore. So we need to connect them brothers to those stories. They need to look at those kinds of documentaries. Should be on the shelves in their house.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would advise. No, man, you know. So thank you for that question.
Yes, sir. Okay, Brother James.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
The only questions we gonna ask for the rest of the night. If you
well,
know what
all
I mean.
Well, praise is due to Allah. Yes, I certainly do. But as I stated, Brother Minister, and actually requested, rather indirectly, but you agreed, so I'm holding you to it.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Sure, I will. Inshallah. I mean, I don't have anything on my schedule unless, you know, like today I had an assignment from the minister that came up unexpectedly.
Yes, sir.
And,
well, that's of course we understand.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But no, brother. It's an honor, man. I just want to answering people questions because these questions are so beautiful that it helps me to say more and elaborate more of what
yes,
the minister
sir.
Is giving to us, you know, because one day we're not going to have him in our midst physically.
That's right.
But he said to me, but brother, I ain't going to die. Don't trip on that.
That's right. Come on, brother.
He said, but if you all are spiritually fit enough, he said, I will be able to communicate with you all where I am.
Mm, mm, mm.
And then you communicate what I communicate to you to the people. And the people will know if what you're saying is true because you can't fool a Muslim nowadays.
That's right. That's right.
And then he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger, they will not.
That's right. Come on, beloved.
I pray that Allah make me one of the ones, brother.
That's right.
That can be strong,
yes,
you
sir.
Know, in this time and in this hour, man. You know, I am just so honored. But I'll say to all of us, be careful, man. Be careful with this social media, because there's an undercurrent happening in our nation with this whole social media thing, and there are people who are getting followers that ain't trying to lead people to the ministry.
That's right. That's right.
Huh.
That's real.
And there are people that are out doing things and don't nobody know but them.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, sir.
Huh. And using his followers to pay for things, man, that he don't know nothing about.
Wow. Yes, sir.
Wow.
You all be careful. And then coming among the righteous people, telling lies, causing us to fight and kill one another.
Come on, Brother Minister. Yes, sir.
We have structure in the nation. I love the nation. I love every law.
Sir.
I love everything about my nation.
Yes,
I love
sir.
The good Muslim and the aberrated one who can be good.
Yes, sir.
But be careful, because there are people out here who are doing things and who are starting things and getting people caught up in it. We don't even know nothing about it. I just have to say that because of a particular incident that happened out here.
Yes, sir.
And then the person went back on social media talking against leadership and people agreeing with him and ain't heard the other side. We that easy on social media? All right.
Well,
warn us,
Minister,
man. I'm just saying to the followers who are listening with Facebook, and if somebody can say, send me some money, and you do it. Really? Damn, y'all that easy? Hell, I'm going to put up a Facebook. Send me some. Nah, I would never do that. I would never use nobody.
Of course
nobody.
Not. We know
nothing,
that.
You know what I mean? But just make sure any movements or anybody talking about they doing something nationally, then follow your general orders.
That's right.
Report all calls from posts most distant from the temple than my own. Y'all getting ready to do what,
sir.
Brother? You calling me to do what? Hold on. Let me check with the Supreme Captain's office.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm done with that. I'm going to leave that piece alone. But I'm just telling you, people almost got hurt. And I believe some of these people are agents.
Come on.
And they stir up the rest of
tell the truth.
That somebody can email some against leadership or Facebook, and then all people are going to buy in and agree, yeah, that ain't right what they did. How the hell you know what was done? You weren't there.
Yes, sir.
You heard one side, and you just go for that? And what does
that's
Quran
right.
say? When an unrighteous man brings you news, you look careful at that person.
That's right. Look
lest
carefully
you do what?
Into it.
Harm of people in ignorance. See?
Mm-hmm.
You kill the spirit of the brotherhood. And if somebody is dealing with you in a mosque or a study group, you never take the nation's business to social media.
That's right.
They didn't do me right in my city. Man, you little punk, why are you telling us?
Come on, brother.
Go ahead and teach on that, Brother Tony. Go ahead. This is the one place you can do it. You can
nation.
Go ahead
you
with
hate,
that.
You don't love the nation, you hate the nation.
Mm-mm-mm.
Come on.
You gotta know how to be mistreated, and you hold that God seen it.
Yes, sir.
Don't contaminate the rest of us with your problem. Bring
yes,
good
sir.
News
exactly.
to the believer.
Yes, sir.
All I want to hear is good news. We gonna win. This little raggedy nation of Islam going to win. It's going to outlast everything. It's going to outlast sun, moon, and stars.
Come on, beloved. Teach, man.
It's going to outlast this galaxy. We ain't going nowhere, and the righteous
yes,
is going to be all right. If you ain't being tried with something, then who in the hell are you if you ain't getting a trial? Then you don't mean nothing to God.
Come on, brother.
Come
yes,
on,
sir.
Speak.
God want to know what every one of us is made out of.
That's right.
Hmm.
What can you take and then hold it? That's what I love about my enemies. These FBI agents and CIA agents, they fight all their enemies, foreign and domestic.
Mm-hmm.
But we put our domestic business out on social media? Really?
Mm.
You don't love the nation. You hate the nation.
Hmm.
People ask
divided.
Me, how's the nation doing? The nation is great, brother.
Yes, sir.
Not that we ain't got no problems, but I ain't telling you ain't no problem that we can't handle. It's a wonderful struggle. Beautiful life. I'm
that's
sorry,
right.
y'all. I just had to.
But that's
just,
right.
Because I love
no,
y'all.
It's time
I love
for
me,
somebody
I love
to tell
me.
It.
No, man. All this old, all these old false prophets and everybody trying to get a following. Like we all wise and smart and I'm this. Man, miss me with all that old mess, man. Let's go get our people. If we ain't getting our
that's
people,
right.
we ain't helping the minister, man.
That's
you can't
right.
convert. You can't convert the already converted.
That's
right. right. That's the point.
You know, 800 mm. Muslims in a chat room talking to each other and ain't no dead on it. I ain't interested. I'm interested in our people,
say
man.
That twice.
That's right.
But I love
oh,
y'all, man. Brother James, Queen Aziza, don't you all stop doing what you're doing, man, and exposing our people to this truth, you know.
No, sir.
You know, but yeah. I'm saying we, but, you know, anyway, that's that. And may Allah bless
yes,
you all
sir.
And, you know, and call me back after this radio and I'll kind of be more specific.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. Wait a minute. Hold on. We got somebody on the phone.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The distinguished gentleman from Florida, you got something you want to say to us before we go?
Yeah, I need to get this off my chest. Can you hear me?
Oh.
Yes, Brother Jahan, Amos Muhammad.
Yeah. Salaam alaikum, soldier.
Wa alaikum salam, Big Jahan.
Turned down for what?
Huh? What was that?
I said, turn down for what? Don't turn my brother minister down. Brother Tony turned up.
I know.
Yes, sir.
I know.
That's right.
I got to calm down.
Praise due to Allah. Nah, turn down for what? It's the time.
Love me. Yeah, man.
Yes,
I love me some nation.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Let me seek refuge with Allah from the rejected Satan and pray that he got my tongue, even if it's just words of encouragement. And thanks to our brother Tony Muhammad. I want to properly greet you. Salaam alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
I'm so enjoying this conference and the response, intelligent response and that you're giving to the questions that's being posed to you. And I want to thank and salute Sister Aziza and Brother James. I tried reaching out to you. I'll call you again when I'm in the brother's presence. It's a black motorcycle club here, and this brother, he want to try to make contact with other you know, riders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know how that's going to work, but he's a good brother here in the masjid here, but
okay.
he loved the minister and just want to make that connection possibly between you and him. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, well, let's make, I have some real slow time on tomorrow, so if you can connect with him on tomorrow would be good, because I have some real slow time tomorrow. I'll be doing some studying.
Yes,
because
sir.
we inshallah, we're going to take this peace ride across America next year, which represents the 20-year anniversary of the Million Man March. So we're going to
yes,
do a million bikers riding for peace. You know, so our goal is to touch 1 million bikers between L.A. and Chicago, with Chicago being our destiny, where we want to fill up Soldiers Field with soldiers.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, so we want to take 100,000 bikers descending into Chicago, which we will stop in 17 cities along the way, and Tampa, St. Pete is one of those. We will be stopping there on our way to Chicago to have a Black Unity Day, and then 40 to 50,000 bikers will head up the East Coast.
Allahu Akbar.
Can you imagine 50,000 black bikers? You know, we'll take other people
man,
too, but we want to get our folks,
sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
So may Allah bless y'all to learn how to ride a motorcycle between now and next year.
Yes,
you know.
Sir.
Put
Aziz
on.
You don't have to beat
Queen,
Brother James
Queen
to make him ride one.
Put Queen Aziz on one of them put him on one of them tri bikes, you know. He's all right. or we just let him ride on the back of a bike with a female. Let a sister drive.
Hold up, Brother Tony.
You can ride with me.
Brother, you trying to get him throttled now.
I know how to challenge the brotherhood. I know how to challenge the God in it.
Yes,
you know,
sir. I got one question. You probably won't have time to answer it, but I got one question. They say that a child can be aberrated, I guess, in the womb of his mother.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Well, can it be audited in the womb of his mother as well?
Well,
I don't think so.
No.
Not audited in the sense of responding. I mean, like, can it be, like, I don't know.
No, I mean, but there are certain things that could happen.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
That because, trust me, be aberrated ain't no problem. That could be handled at any time in a person's life with the tool that you have. You see what I'm saying? Because you can get aberrated daily and get it off. You know?
That's right.
So, because, see, auditing is nothing but the physical manifestation of what spiritual prayer does.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be pinpointed, you know, in auditing from the mind. So don't worry. I mean, even so, if a child is having some little slight aberration while they're in the womb of the mother, when that child comes to birth, there's certain things like touch assist that you can bring that child in contact with himself, you know, and there are auditing processes that can be done on infants that has to be trained by those auditors who go through that training. So it all can work.
So there's no certain age after.
Well, it depends on the maturity of the child, you know.
Because
if a child can comprehend pretty quick, then, you know, again, don't worry. When that child gets to be 2 or 3 years old, you can get stuff off of them real quick. And the beautiful part is we got this tool. We ain't got to wait till they 12 and get a truckload of stuff off of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay. And again, it might not be that child suffered, you know, when you say aberration. The thing that baby is going to suffer coming to birth is an engram.
Yeah,
because any pain associated that with is an engram. And if you're careful, that's why in that particular technology, they make sure when they are delivering babies that nobody is talking.
That's right.
No doctor, it should be a silent birth. Nobody should be talking.
That's right.
Because one of my twins, I got twins, and one of them was breached. The doctor came and told me that he didn't make it. But while he was relaying this message to me, you know, my son just bust out crying and came through. But
look at what he said. He ain't going to make it. Guess what? That child heard that.
Mm.
If that child and baby was in the same room, well, that he ain't going to make it could lead to some physical manifestations like asthma. You know, that could cause him to have asthma. You know, that could cause him to have other kind of mental and physical manifestations that, you know, those of us, Brother James.
Yes, he was having
we
seizures.
We could tell you what. Yeah, see?
Yeah,
he was having seizures and he grew out of it. He don't have them.
Yeah.
He haven't had them since he was an infant.
But he still need to be audited because he can have a seizure any day. One day he gets stressed out
and somebody say he ain't going to make it, next thing you know, he going into a seizure because he's fighting for his life. Because all life is trying to survive. But if he went in agreement with that doctor, we got to break that agreement. And that's why the scriptures say your agreement with hell has to be disannulled.
That's right.
So, he right now, he could be audited, and you put him on the audit, and as you getting them engrams, he'll go back to the prenatal, and he'll remember. He said, man, I hear somebody saying I'm not going to make it. And he'll cognize, that's what the hell been wrong with me. As a child, I said I wasn't going to, and it blows off. Now that charge is gone. That's what auditing does. It takes you back to agreements that you made that hurts you later in life.
That's right.
So, man, y'all got me all fired up, man.
Love.
We went from basketball to auditing. I love this, boy.
I want to let him give you the greetings, brother Tony. This little Jihad right here, I want to let him give you the greetings right quick, okay?
Yes.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Yes, sir.
Hello, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, brother Jihad.
Salam.
How's my fighting warrior brother doing?
Good.
Man, well, may Allah bless you, brother, to conquer yourself.
That's right. Wa alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes. All right, family, well, I'm going to run on into
so
my
precious.
Next meeting.
Thank you so much, brother Tony. Thank you.
Thank you, Queen Aziz and Brother James. And inshallah, let's talk in a few minutes if we can.
All praise be to Allah.
Okay.
And tell Brother Jihad, I love him, man. And thank you all. And inshallah, hopefully I'll be back down in Florida by July of this year.
Yes, we'll look forward to it, brother. And we certainly look forward to next Friday.
Yes,
Allah,
sir.
Great.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And Brother
thank
Jihad,
you.
While I have you on the phone, brother, I know you got a lot going on, but you got to give me some time, all right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, brother.
Right,
get him out of hiding because he'll hide behind that sycamore tree, brother.
I know he sure will. He sure will.
Okay, listen, we are way over time, and let me just give y'all the rundown for the rest of the week. Join us tomorrow, because Brother Jihad, who you hear right now, is going to be with me tomorrow, and we're going to do part one of the history of Master Farah Muhammad, and Brother Jihad is going to delight us with a lecture series that he's done before that we haven't heard, but we will hear it for the first time on Nation Building tomorrow. So I'm very excited about that. So join us tomorrow, 8 o'clock Central, for that. On Sunday, Mother's Day, first of all, don't forget to call your mothers and tell her that you love her. And if your mother is not here, go hug somebody's mama and tell them that you appreciate them for bringing life into the world. And at 6:30 p.m., Brother Jamil is going to host Brother Philip Muhammad and Sister Lisa Muhammad and student Mr. James Muhammad, and they're going to be talking about how to use social media to propagate Islam. And of course, Monday, 8 o'clock, Conscious Black Nation. Tuesday, 7 o'clock, Disaster Preparedness. Wednesday, 7 o'clock, DJ Black Seeds and Friends. Thursday, 8 o'clock, I'll be right back here with Student Minister Stanley and Sister Ruth, and they're going to do another magnificent show on relationships. And what we're talking about, husbands, do you love your wives? And you don't want to miss that. And so next Friday, we'll be back here with our beautiful brother, Student Minister Tony Muhammad, our Western Regional Representative of the Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan, and Student Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. May Allah bless all of us with the light of understanding. We will leave you as we came before you in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum, one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaykum.